The Guardian.
Getting a good night's sleep in Britain has never been so hard. Increased workloads, smartphones with 24-hour email access, and general anxiety have meant that on any given night, over half the population are struggling to fall asleep. But salvation is at hand. The Guardian presents Going, Going, Gone, sponsored by John Lewis, a series of stories by internationally renowned authors designed to help you slip into sleep. A series of stories you'll find hard to finish.
Lullaby by Will Self. This is what sings in the shadows every stilted moment. This is what every formality choruses and every constraining convention of bodily interaction, the handshake, the air kiss, the A-frame hug, leadenly hymns. Yet we cannot pursue this. We cannot take the golden key from the glass-topped conference table, unlock the door, walk down the passage and into the rose garden. It was a gift, wholly of its time, closer to childhood sleepovers with the fetor of sweat-damp warm duvets and sleeping bags than any ritual of the adult realm. I remember the heat in the south and the smell of beeswax polish and the fat dust devils stirred by trailing drapes that in turn were animated by hot winds heavy with rosemary and thyme. We awoke and stretched, and those stretches became our caresses. We made love, each touch inflaming us with more fatigue. In our crest was our trough. We slumbered once more, flowing into and out of each other, oh runny honey, and awoke once more to feel warm breath on the nape of neck, stirring nape hair, and awoke once more to smell warm skin and hair, to send out a hand, hydra-headed with fingers, each one a double agent that seeks intelligence of moles and down then smooths over belly swells and warms into creases and crevices to pick over the pockets and cavities formed by our two bodies. The internal organs of the me that's you and the you that's me. We cannot pursue this. Getting ready for bed this evening was somewhere between a formality, an errand, and a secret joy. You removed this, I shrugged off that, you unlaced that. I held this up and saw the lamplight shine through its twisted filigree of lace. You went to the bathroom and from in there came the sounds of tumultuous intimacies, the cataracts pounding through your grottos and cavities. My pigeon house, I opened wide and set my pigeons free. The steady erosion of dead dermis, the polishing of enamel. They fly so high, they touch the sky and light the tallest trees. The smoothing in of creams and salves, the long, static, crackling sweep of the hairbrush. And when they return from their merry flight, I shut the door and I say, good night, Karoo, 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 Karoo. How did it happen? How did it come about, this easy and unforced communion of two? We've long since ceased to feel any embarrassment in each other's bare and forked presence. We preen and we parp, we hick and we harp. We know when to look at this seductive déshabille and when to look away from this awkward nakedness. You had one eye in the mirror and you watched yourself, gavotte. In bed. In bed. Embedded in a mattress of clay, our heads impressed in pillows of wax. We arrange the sheet, pull up the duvet, sheets unroll the thick bed cover with its cunning pattern of interlocking woolen squares. It's thick with cold outside. A margarine of condensation spreads across windows of parked cars. Hoarfrost furs twigs and blades of grass. The icy roadway and dank pavement ring with the footsteps of people returning from the pub. It's cold out there. A dull and penetrating coldness that seeps into the marrow and makes fillings ache. It's cold out there. And everything is winding down. The last bus arrives at the penultimate stop, its top deck wreathed in Beltane fire, a walrus behind the steering wheel. It's good to slip slumber into sleepy warmth while icicles form on the eaves and gutters. It's right that we should curl up in our burrow while the foxes root in the bin bags. Right also that we should invite all these waifs and strays to join us. The chicks clawed from their nest, the tramps dislodged from their bash, the trouserless politician wandering on the starry common. It's appropriate as well that minds unravel at this end of the day. As reality's very selvage phrase, thoughts seeping through the restive streets, trickling. The wind-up radio's winding down, and the announcer slurs the time while on the bright all-night petrol station's forecourt, a severed fox's head sits atop a pump. And in the dark park, a petrol pump stands in the fountain, its nozzle gushing. Back at the petrol station, the fox's head has been replaced with that of the wandering politician. It inflates steadily, the features stretching into brown whorls that then become dark patches which grows into paler stains that expand into rubbery translucence. I smell the rubber. You cling fast to my back, I cling fast to yours. We fly the twin-seat glider of our relationship with dual sets of controls, neither of which are connected to the rudder or ailerons. We bucket about, rising into surreal swirls of daily go-round. She took the last bourbon biscuit, then dropping into air pockets of semi-consciousness. Love. We love one another. Is it my breath stirring on the downy hairs of your neck, or your breath that tickles me? Love. We love another. We are entwined, our arms and legs woven together even as we remember the city's noonday seething. Are these thoughts we share so pedestrian? Crowds of them scattering across a dull grey windswept square, then fusing together on a bus which decants them into a train, then pours them into a tunnel. A fox's bark is the shabbily recalled yelp of a long-ago lover. Mine or yours? A drunk, sailing by in the streets, cries for his mammy. And somewhere far off, unheard, a mammy cries for her drunk. That is their tragedy. Ours is this pillow. A wadded-up boulder full of concrete lumps covered with an iron slip. We rear up as one, reorder, rearrange, collapse back into our shared fog, into each other. My pigeon house I open wide and set my pigeons free. They fly so high they touch the sky and light on the tallest trees. And when they return from the merry flight, I shut the door and I say good night. Kuru, 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 kuru. When that I was and a little tiny child, I'd wait for a long time for Mammy to come and kiss me goodnight. And I was a giant in my counterpane world, with hey ho, the wind and the rain rising up above it, the squalls twisting away below my feet, the clouds clumping beneath my heavy, levitating head. When that I was and a little tiny child, I'd wait for a long time for Mammy to come and kiss me goodnight. Then I realized I was a little big child and Mammy wasn't coming. I was a big child and I would have to sleep alone now. No cuddles or caresses until I was grown up enough to sleep in a bed with another grown-up. Except that this might not happen. The old lady in the park, her headscarf knotted under her hag hairy chin. She feeds the ducks whole slices of white bread. Not crumbs or lumps, whole slices, held out to their mangy heads and the woolen gloved palms of her trembling hands. She sleeps alone in a narrow mahogany bed with a gravestone for a headboard. She drowses on a steel tabletop. A pathologist feeds her pabulum, the scalpel thrust into her hateful hollow with its blood-soaked edges. Her sluggish eyelids, thick with makeup and veins, flicker. She will sleep alone now for an eternity, twisting and turning in her narrow earthen bed, reaching out her woolen-gloved and trembling hand to pet her only companions, the worms. I will sleep alone now, and now is an eternity. How absurd it was to think you were here with me. This breath stirring my nape hairs is my own eggy wind. Funneled up my back, that smell is the very rotting, sulphurous insides of me. The hand that clutches my own is my own. The toenail that scratches the back of my calf belongs to the foot attached to the matching leg. My tail is scaly and there's no love. No entwining of arms and legs, promiscuously engaged, no tongue on cheek. We float in space unborn. We're born alone, live alone, sleep alone. We die alone and sleep some more. The utterances haunting our dreams come from way over there, from the dark side of your own grey and pulverized minds, and as any smart child will tell you, sound cannot howl through a vacuum. Pull down your sleeves. Round your back. Eyes shut. Make the best of a bad job. That's it. Hands clasped and thrust between hot, damp thighs. If you can't be with the one you love, love, I am she as I am me. There is no we. Or more precipitately, we. Some badaddy's little idea of a joke, no? Do I feel it already? The quicksilver liquefaction, the mercurial burn, the slow pulse that becomes a wave, raising me up on its green and sinuous back, surfing me across the landing, plunging me down the stairs. In the bathroom, the painted plywood seagull shapes slowly revolve on their wires as the fan moans with the effort of regurgitating a stale breeze. In the bathroom, the cistern and I will gurgle at each other as I shift uneasily from one buttock to another. Spindrift spatters the mirror and the wave retreats, hunkering back down the creased beach, leaving me marooned, as fat and ungainly and alone as a walrus. Pigeon house I open wide and set my pigeons free. They fly so high they touch the sky and light on the tallest trees. And when they return from their merry flight, I shut the door and I say good night. Kuru, kuru, Karoo, Karoo. A middle-aged woman, legs akimbo, squats and urinates on the corpse of a walrus. Gulls wheel about her head squawking. A crocodile of primary school children wends along the tide line, marshalled by a harassed teacher. Heads up, look smart, keep moving. A pretty thing, her hair in a ponytail, bites into a mermaid's purse. The colloidal goo drips slowly from her chin. That old queen, Poseidon, Persephone, has been summoned from the deep. She arrives, lying full stretch on a palais woven from seaweed, drawn by waddling ducks. She hands out last communion cards and stabs herself through the heart with an evilly sharpened crucifix. There are hag hairs on her chinny chin chin, swarming with sea lice. Mammy puts the mug of cocoa on a rock and, insinuating a firm, cool arm behind my sweaty back, pulls me up. I hunch uncomfortably while she rearranges, turns and plumps the pillow. Then I slump back into the firm, cool cloudiness. small, mousy young woman is crammed into the corner of the train carriage. Her split ends scintillate in the infernal light of the bare bulbs. Her blackheads greasily shine in the shadows of her face. A face that's inclined to the bright pastels of her mobile phone screen. A face that's oblivious to the cage of arms her head is encased by. Outside the window, a pigeon flutters, silhouetted against the yellowing evening sky. Dear head, dear face, aye,